My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol.
My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
At Ritual, we know what goes into a magical holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. This new year, take a moment for yourself with simple daily rituals that help you put your foundational health at the top of your to-do list. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin is a clinically backed multivitamin featuring 9 high-quality key essential ingredients to help you fill key nutrient gaps in your diet. Or maybe you're stressing your daily protein intake, or you want to double down on support for your gut microbiome. From plant-based essential protein to 3-in-1 pre, pro, and postbiotic strains with Symbiotic Plus, Ritual helps you focus on supporting your body after a long season of juggling everybody else. And for a limited time, do it with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ladies and gentlemen, as the sun continues to shine across Londinium, we remind you that the most premium lager ever created is now available to buy once more from MoreLashBrewery.com. First time the flavor was slightly iffy, but now we've employed an award-winning team of 1,000 beer experts. Last time it was just Archie Curzon. Trust me, give it another go. Go to MoreLash Brewery, put in the code RIGBIS15, and get 15% off something which now tastes like a Rolex.
Fred.
Yeah.
Just before we start the pod,
yeah, sure.
Do you think you could just play something on the piano? Just
tinkle the ivories.
Do you mind?
Okay.
I've just got something I really want to say to the many listeners.
What kind of mood?
Serious.
Okay.
Wow, that's serious. That's beautiful, Freddie. Because this is a bit of a serious start to the podcast. Just before we get tucked into some seriously good banter, I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who's kindly donated ahead of my charity bike ride, which happens this time next week for Kenny Logan's World Cup Challenge. The bike ride is all in aid of My Name's Dolly Foundation, a charity that is truly doing some amazing things and trying to find a cure for MND. If you haven't done so far, please click in the link in the bio and donate whatever you can. £1, £2, £5, £10, £20, £1,000, £10,000, £500,000, whatever you want to donate. The latter, if you are donating £500,000, please leave your name and number. I'd love to take you out for lunch at the NED and discuss some other investments such as Biltorn and cryptocurrency. Anyway, before we go, I just want to say me and Freddie love doing this podcast. We do it for free. We hope to continue doing it for years to come. But if you can find the time, it would take 5 minutes to click on the link in the bio and donate. I'd be very grateful. Enjoy the pod. Love and champagne.
This is the one. It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory.
La lash. Viens avec moi pour le rugby en France. Prends une bière et on suit dans la danse. Viens-tu de suite si ta seule chance. Bienvenue à la Coupe du Monde de rugby en France.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Rigbiz Podcast, episode 151. My name is Freddie Claude and I am joined by, well, a semi-professional rugby player in his own right, Mr. Archie Curzon. How are you, sir?
In your head, in your head, zombie.
I didn't realize you're an Ireland fan.
Yeah, no, well, I'm not, but I did really enjoy that last bit of the game.
It was really good.
That was electric. You could even feel the atmosphere here in Clapham.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well,
we were
treated to a fiesta de la jour of rugby. It was non-stop, including your own game, right?
Yeah. This weekend, I played, I drank, I ate, and I watched rugby.
God, you must be naked.
But can I just say congratulations to England. That was a tough game. We got through Chile.
Yeah, okay.
I honestly used that all weekend.
No.
On Sunday, I went for a coffee with my mate. I was like, oh, luckily, thank God England got past Chile. And he was like, well, Chile are rubbish. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Well, mate, you mentioned it last week as well.
I know. It's a great bit of banter.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, hell of a weekend, mate. That's a proper rugby weekend. Because obviously I played my first match on Saturday.
Yes, you did.
And I'll tell you what, I felt so good out there. I was well rested and ready to go. I mean, I was pumped, mate. We played a medics team.
Right.
I've got to say, they looked tired and underpaid.
Right.
But I didn't take any pity because they left gaps open. I just took them. But yeah, we absolutely smashed them 59-6.
Wow. Any tries?
Yeah, I got two tries, okay, and I was 9 from 10. Off the tee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right,
shame I'm not South African because they could do me right now.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't play professionally now. Mentally, I could definitely play at that level. There's no doubt about it.
That's debatable.
Mentally, I'm there. But physically, man, I've just had too many years sat at my desk, and physically I'm probably just not at that level. I mean, it was brutal.
It was completely brutal.
It was unbelievable. The atmosphere was electric. You know, I watched it in Clapham Old Town, and yeah, it was a hell of a game. What an advertisement for rugby.
I mean, the atmosphere was incredible in Stade de France, but arguably was it even better in Clapham? I mean, the home of rugby, the real home of rugby?
I would say as good, if not better. Because there was quite a lot of South Africans in the pub.
And Irish.
Yeah. Clapham is like a melting pot of different cultures. That's what I love about it. But different cultures, but mainly everyone is privately educated, so which is quite nice.
Did you see a lot of green shirts getting out of Inferno, South Africa and Ireland?
Inferno's was a wave of sort of light and dark green shirts. It was a really good atmosphere, actually. Everyone got on really well.
That's great.
It was pretty boozy. And I was talking to this girl in there who recognised me, and I said, and she asked me about England. I said, well, we're okay. Luckily, we got past Chile.
Oh, not again, Archie. It
is sad because that's probably the only weekend you can have that kind of Chile chat because they played such a bad team. I guess I'm just looking forward to like 4 years time when we have another rubbish team in our group and we can have that kind of joke again.
Right,
it'd be quite interesting who we get, because I guess in a couple of years time we'll find out who's in our group and then you can start that banter again. Like if we got Uruguay, that would be it. I'd be in the office and be like, oh god, group looks tough. I hope we get past Uruguay.
I'm surprised you don't have a chili button.
No, I've got a chili button now.
What?
Yeah, because it's the only chance I'm ever going to use it. Listen to this. Luckily we got past Chile.
Well, Archie, talking about Ireland and South Africa there, I mean, what an epic encounter. It doesn't get bigger than that on the world stage. But also, Scotland are in that group. Let's not forget that.
And can I just say quickly, because obviously I had the chili button, and that's really got my fingers twitching. Can I just press these two buttons?
Another one.
And also, we must not forget...
Samurai! No!
Oh yeah, Samurai, thank you for sponsoring this podcast, Samurai. And don't forget your club.
The buttons have become a real thing in this podcast.
They have.
People actually love the buttons.
Well, talking about Samurai, talking about Scotland, Samurai was sponsoring Exeter. And on the podcast today, you've managed to get the person who everyone wants to hear from, a man who was sponsored by Samurai, a man who played for Scotland, the highest try scorer in Scotland's history, Mr. Stuart Hogg.
Yeah, Hoggy's someone I've known for a while and really looking forward to this. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going around Hoggy at the moment, and I'm really looking forward to getting to the bottom of it. And obviously, at some point in this interview, I am going to ask him if the rumours are true.
You're going to ask him that?
Yeah, I have to. You know, that's my duty. I'm the chief chat officer, so at some point when the time's right, I'm going to ask him, you know, the question, because I think everyone wants to know. But yeah, looking forward to it. Hell of a rugby player. I mean, amazing transformation physically, and I've heard his banter is pretty good, so I think there's only one thing to say: onside chat.
Oh god, he's beautiful.
Welcome Stuart Hogg. We finally complete the trio of Exeter. We've had Nolsey, we've had Slady, now we get Hoggy.
So you've left the best to last, is that what we're saying?
Well, we have. I mean, look, Hoggy, I've got to ask you, because we've had a lot of the Scottish players on the podcast. Just tell me, how is Annabelle, Hugh Jones's wife? I'm a big fan.
Yeah, she's a lovely girl, Annabelle.
I've got to say, we have ones to watch on this podcast, and we've had Annabelle's one to watch on Instagram, and also Ali Price's girlfriend. Phenomenal content on Instagram. Big fan.
Shame about the rabbit. Shame about
we've. He's gone quiet. He looks at all my stories on Instagram, and now he's sort of used a shadow of his former self.
We used to give him stick about the rabbit, and he wasn't best pleased.
Well, let me quickly say, because obviously you're about to go off with the legend Kenny Logan, who obviously Hoggy's great friends with, to go and raise as much money as possible for MND for Doddy Weir. But let's just say to the fans, we're delighted to be joined by a man who surpassed 100 caps for Scotland, 3 separate tours with the Lions, Scotland's highest ever try
highest score in history. Hoggy, welcome to the pod. Now look, Archie's grandpa retired when he was 34, made a fortune in sugar trading, and he was seen as a maverick for sort of retiring that early. But you're only 31. What the hell is going on?
I played my last game of rugby at 30, but unfortunately I've got the body of a 60-year-old. It's absolutely buggered, mate. So yeah, I tried for long enough to keep going. And unfortunately, the knees just couldn't take it anymore. The body affects the mood. And when the mood is crap, then I'm a horrible person to be around. And, you know, having three young kids with one on the way, it's a bit difficult to be around them. So I decided that enough's enough and rugby was done.
You say your body's broken, but can I just say your guns are looking phenomenal in that T-shirt. What size is that? Is that medium or small?
I think it's an extra small. Yeah. Shout out to Norman.
That is nice. Yeah, lovely. Yeah. I mean, I
think it must be the angles, mate. It must be angles.
Yeah, no, it's decent. A decent. How much triceps do you do against biceps? Because a lot of people don't know, triceps are key for the arm, right?
Mate, do you know, the last time I lifted weights was the last training session I'd done with Scotland.
Wow.
Which was in June. I haven't lifted weights since. I'm deflating around where the muscle used to be and inflating around the belly, which has been good fun.
Hoggy, just be careful, okay? Because, you know, last thing you want is to get a wobbly chassis and then be bowling around, you know.
It's there, mate.
If you do, we'll have to ban you from Clapham. You can't be coming down to Clapham with a wobbly chassis, okay? Otherwise, we'll have to ban you to Putney and I'll start saying that you're playing hockey instead of rugby. I mean it. If you fancy some CrossFit on the common, let me know. I've got a CrossFit team called the Chassis Monsters. They're all really good lads. There's a couple of guys actually from Edinburgh. Well, they're from Edinburgh. Their family own land up in Scotland, but they've got English. They speak sort of English.
Oh, yeah.
You know those kind of guys.
They're
in great shape. And you know what? I don't care about their personality because they're in good shape. But if you fancy... If you fancy a bit of a run around the common, we got a big tire, a couple of battle ropes, and we have a lot of fun with kettlebells. So let me know. Come down and we'll work on your rig.
I'm keen. Let's sort it out at some point.
Have you been to Inferno's?
No.
Oh.
You've never been to Clapham? You've never been on a night out in Clapham?
No.
Okay.
That's heartbreaking.
That's okay. It's okay. I've spent a lot of time this last 3 weeks singing Nickelback down to Finn Russell's Instagram DMs, which he just keeps listening to and saying stop. And I said when the World Cup finishes, I'm taking out Clapham, and he gave me a thumbs up. So I'll add you to the group and I'll sing Nickelback down to you and we'll get you to Clapham.
Mate, sweet. Can't wait.
Hoggy, are you not worried, having seen Ryan Wilson's TikTok? You know, the guy's been forced into retirement and he's now doing cooking videos, which Archie's sort of bullying him for. Are you not worried that that may have to be you if now you sort of ventured into retirement?
I'm a big fan of Ryan Wilson, but he's almost became more famous off of social media than he has his actual rugby career.
Yeah,
he's absolutely comedy. Wilson's a great boy. And the best thing is he literally does not give a fuck about anybody, what anybody's got to say about him. So he cracks on, mate, and he is absolute comedy. Some of the videos he's done over the past couple of months has been very, very good.
He's got three caps on this podcast, but I won't forgive him for doing a cooking video on TikTok. That is shameful. And if he does another one, I will send like a complaint to TikTok and say, please stop. I don't mind the kid stuff. That's great. That's good for commercial value. But if he starts cooking a fucking hot dog again, I will tell him, stop.
Yeah, I saw that, to be fair. And I was like, well, like, you're genuinely struggling right now if you're doing that.
I wrote to her and said, is everything okay? Do you need to talk?
Hoggy, you had such an incredible career. I mean, only a year after making your sort of domestic debut in the Magnus League, you were called up to the Scotland side. Made your full debut in Cardiff in the Six Nations, replacing Max Evans after only 60 minutes. Quick one to Max, if he's listening. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, Max, I hope you're okay. I hope everything's all right over there. We're really enjoying the dancing, and we're a big fan of Deborah as well. Keep going.
He's living the life, isn't he? He's living the life.
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah,
good old Maxi boy.
He's been on the podcast as well, and he does message me from time to time. It is extraordinary. Well, what a man! What a man! Loves pre workout. Absolutely loves pre workout.
Hoggy, what are your memories of that occasion? Because on the pitch it was good fun, but off it apparently it was a bit of a nightmare with the initiation afterwards.
So, yeah, it was such, obviously, like, make your debut and stuff was absolutely incredible. And long story short, we got beat, but never mind. At night, Back in the day, there used to be a thing that you had to have a drink with every team member. And it was the second game of Six Nations, so therefore there was a week off after it. So yeah, we'd done the initiations that night, so you do a drink. I was standing speaking to my parents in the bar just before we went through the function room, and Sean Lamont comes up to me with a double whiskey, and you've got to do it on the head, eh? So I've had a couple of beers at this time, by this point, and then next thing, you're doing a double whiskey, and then you're thinking, right, that's fine. And I was like, John Barclay and Graham Morrison came with like tequila. And then, you know, there was red wine, there was white wine. Then there was like Sambuca and stuff. And then the worst thing of the night, genuine, I thought, oh, this might save me, was Big Jim Hamlin came across with a pint. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, you know what? This might be all right. Like, I've had beers. Fuck me. I won the Cookie Cup, which was pretty much a glorified vase with like a sheet of paper down the side of it that said like the kit man's man of the match for the day or whatever. And that was sitting on the table next to me because I'd won it. And I chopped a pint and literally was like, do you want me to get that like urge to keep swallowing, thinking, right, I'm keeping this down and keeping this down, and then it might be all right. One swallow too many, fucking projectile vomited. Luckily, I caught the fucking vase in time and spewed all down the down the vase. And then, yeah, I thought, fuck, I was like, yeah, obviously they're going to look at me now and say I'm absolutely buggered. They can't give me any more drinks. Then the Welsh started getting involved because they saw like Jamie Roberts and stuff, a couple of wine glasses across my way. I was like, oh, shit, the bit. So I'd managed to come off that game like relatively unscathed, like no problems or anything like that. I got put to bed by Ross Ford and the physio Steve Much put me to bed, but then I somehow managed to find my way back down. And then my mum and my girlfriend at the time put me to bed, and my mum had like rolled up like towels and stuff and like plonked them around the bed so like I wouldn't roll off the bed or anything like that. But just before I got into bed, I somehow managed to run to the toilet and try and be sick again to then slip and headbutt the toilet. So I broke my nose and split my head open on the night out. So that was, I woke up and there was like blood fucking pissing everywhere over the bed sheets and stuff. So I was like, yeah, if you're going to do it, you do it right. But the next day it was absolute hell.
That is loose. I've got to say, that feeling of, you know, the swallowing, keep swallowing, that takes me back to boarding school.
Hoggy, obviously a legend of sport. You were selected to go 2013, I think was your first Lions tour to Australia. We've had a lot of those boys on this podcast. They all say that was the last loose tour. After then, it got a bit PC. New Zealand was all right, but 2013 apparently was just like two separate squads, one on the piss the whole time, one playing a bit of rugby. Best memories of that tour? I mean, did it get fucking loose?
Best time on that tour were the 3 weeks of the test matches. Because, as you say, there was two separate squads, the young boys that weren't playing at all. We were pretty much on the fucking manly stag, the three-week stag, which was absolutely incredible. But, yeah, that was a class too. I remember, I think it was Rory Best actually done an interview for Irish Telly on that, like, the last week of the Lions Tour. I was like, right, Rory, what's the biggest thing you've learned on the Lions Tour? And he's just blurted out, you can train with a hangover. So we were like, fuck me. But mate, honestly, the last 3 weeks of that tour was absolute quality. We obviously travelled around, got all the state-of-the-art hotels, were very well looked after, and it became a certain point in the day, it was like, right, what are we going to do? Let's find a pub. And it was absolute joy because we weren't needed at all. Nobody gave a fuck. The meetings were about the players that were only playing. So we were pretty much, we were the bin juice, the cannon fodder, whatever you want to call it. But we had a hell of a lot of fun. A hell of a lot of fun.
Do you remember Sexton scrapping with Hibbard?
No, I don't actually. I can't remember that. But you know what it's like when you go on these tours, mate? Everybody actually genuinely hates everybody to begin with.
Yeah.
And there were a fair few scraps, but fuck, I can't, mate, that was 10 years ago. I can't remember what happened.
Who was the person on that tour that you hated and then you became best friends? Owen Farrell?
No, I like him.
Hoggy, do you want to come and do some extra kicking?
Yeah, run ahead of me. I think, yeah, probably would be Faz. Like, going at that too, we're a bit like, obviously we're, as Scotsmen, we're brought up to hate the English, and he was fucking good, so we're like, yeah, we hate him, but he's genuinely a really nice bloke, and we've got on well ever since. So I would say Faz was the one that, but oh mate, you know what it's like everybody, as I say, when you go in, everybody's a bit skeptical about fucking different nationalities and this, that, and another. But as soon as you get in, you've all got the same common goal. You all want to win, but you all want to fucking play at the same time. So I learned a lot on that tour, because when I remember Lee Halfpenny before the Waratahs game, and he's woken up, mate. The game's at night time. He's woken up in the morning, fucking headphones on, stretching, rubber bands everywhere, like thermal bottoms on and that. And I was like, fuck me, I ain't professional enough for this. And lo and behold, I've never done any of that in my career.
Archie's worked for his godfather's company for like 15-odd years now in the city. Yeah. But he did think about leaving about 6 years ago.
What happened is, I mean, I was very lucky because my grandfather, he retired at 34. He made a lot of money in sugar. And then my dad was very lucky because he was just coming up to 40 when both my grandparents died and left him that fortune. So he never had to work. Inheritance.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the news was sad when it was a car crash, quite literally. But you should have seen his face. One moment he was sad, the other moment he realised we could book a holiday to the Maldives for the whole family. It was great.
Hoggy, I read that when you came back from that tour, though, you were thinking about leaving your beloved Glasgow. You flirted with Ulster, and then suddenly everyone had the fucking arsehole with you, and you get punished beyond belief. I mean, what was that? A weird period? How did they punish?
Oh, right. Fuck me. So, yeah, I came back after that tour. I got red carded against Wales and the Six Nations, and I got a three-match ban. And during that three-match ban, my agent at the time was like, Ulster interested. So I was like, right, fuck it. We're going there, because all my dad's side of the family are not from Northern Ireland. So I was like, right, we'll go across there. We'll see what we've got. They're giving me a contract at the time. I was like, fuck me, yeah, I'll take that. Lo and behold, it was the first game I think I was back fit and available for selection after my ban. We were playing Ulster on a Friday night. I decided to fly across to Ulster and to Belfast on a Wednesday morning prior to that game, thinking, oh, yeah, we'll see the club. We'll get away with it. We'll come back. We'll play against Ulster. All will be well. Went across there, just about to get on the flight back. Got a message from Gregor Townsend saying, office 8 o'clock in the morning, please. No. I was like, oh, shit, he knows. So he's then fucking had an epi. He's lost the plot. He's pretty much told me to fuck off. I've went back home, never played for the rest of the season. Well, I did actually. I played 100 minutes of rugby and about 10 games of rugby, because back then, when you played against the Italian side, it was a guaranteed 5 points and you scored in the first hat-trick. Do you know what I mean? I played 60 minutes against Treviso. And then the week after, we played against Zebre. And I'd scored 2 tries in the first half, right? And just before half-time, I make this break, put a massive kick ahead, chase after it, kick it on, thinking, smack bang on the post, I'm getting my hat-trick here. And Nico Matawalu comes from fucking nowhere, right? Nowhere. And there's a photo of him and I diving across the line at the same time. He stole my hat-trick try and flew into the advertising boards and fucking wiped them and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, I was fucking young at the time and raging, just got up and didn't help him get up over the advertising boards. And I was like, oh, fuck this is shit. He's just stole my hat-trick try. Got hoyed off at half-time and never played again that season.
Fucking hell.
He's like, mate, we played Munster in the semi-final, we won that, and then we played Leinster in the final, and I was sitting with Ryan Wilson. I think Ryan Wilson was injured at the time, so we were sitting drinking pints again as well, watching Glasgow get absolutely fingered in the final. But at this point I thought, oh yeah, still a chance that I'll be going to Ulster. And then all that went tits up because the two coaches that were trying to get me across to Ulster left that summer. So I was like, oh yeah, brilliant, what the fuck did I do now? Still got a year of my contract at Glasgow. Here's me back in a pre-season, tail between my legs, saying, Gregor, please may I have some more? Like, I'm fine, I'll be committed. Mate, the boys fucking hated me. They absolutely fucking hated me for ages. And then I actually started like playing some decent rugby, and we got to the final again and won that season, and it was one of my favourite seasons. So, and I actually re-signed. I re-signed after that too. I made an arse of it that in 2014, but in 2015 it was always well.
Hoggy, how on a serious note, how hard is it when you are a sort of a superstar, and not a superstar, but do you know what I mean you were sort of, I guess, Mr. Scotland, or let's say you are an overpower? How hard is it to keep your feet on the ground in sport? You see, like. You're like, I guess, the equivalent of Ronaldo in the Glasgow team. How hard is it to not get your head turned? Because you get all these offers, right?
You do change a little bit, because you have to change. You have to change to adapt to the new life type thing. But the best thing for me, mate, is I was only the best part of 2 hours away from home. So anytime I had a day off or a weekend off or whatever, we played on a Friday night at home. So straight after the game, you're wired to the moon. I would just drive back down the road with my parents and spend the weekend down there. So, mate, you can't get too big for your boots down there, or you'll get fucking filled in. So, it's like you just have to kind of, everybody does it. Everybody gets the banter of, oh, you've changed, but you genuinely have to. You're never ever going to be the exact same person that you came into it with.
That is the beauty of Clapham, where I'm from in London, because you can get too big for your boots. Like, you know, I'm verging on 90,000 followers on Instagram, and my head, you know, I don't like to get on the tube with anyone. I ask people to get off the tube, and I'm like, guys, get off. And they're all like, I've got work. I'm like, well, who has got more than 90,000 followers? I'm like, not you. You're fit, you can stay. And like, no, I don't, you know, it's a place where ego lives. You know, I walk around chest puffed out the whole time. I basically just walk around. It's a great place to be, actually.
Commercial break.
Clapham folk and samurai stash. What's up, sir? You need a slap, cause samurai be taking over. I couldn't take bad stash no more. We're going low curve. Rugby equals beer and hockey equals soda. I met a skinny chassis in Putney, throwing up all slumped over. Shit, samurai stash is good, I can't complain. I still laugh at bitches and Adidas doing gains. Samurai's better than your Adidas Nikes. All the cheekers on my Instagram firing off lights like they wanna lick me up and down. Go pick a brand town. Guess what? I rule Clapham town. My Clapham Vulcan stash with a water full of cash. Oh, the girls working out, and then we're drinking more lash. And if you wanna come back or even come over, everybody's wearing Clapham Vulcan stash. Take over. I live 10 cold shower and lash, eating biltong in my samurai stash. I live 10 cold shower then lash, eating biltong in my samurai stash. What's wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen? Nothing. And if you want to come join me, then go to the Samurai website and get hold of your limited edition Clapham Falcons merchandise. It is there for all of you. Join the club right away. Lots of love.
Hoggy, obviously J.K. Rowling put you in the Pottersphere as a full-blown wizard. Archie's nickname's the Magician, a bit like Finn Russell's. But you must be a certified
Finn
wizard.
For me.
How you've been able to regrow that lid and the gnashes so well. I mean, that is magic.
Yeah, I think it's maybe the two trips I took to KSL clinics to get my hair done, maybe there, and then maybe Smile Plus Dental in Edinburgh. That's where I maybe went for a day.
Done a bloody good job,
mate. They've done an absolute terrific job, and as my dad used to say, you can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter.
Hoggy, I know you've got to go in a minute, so we've got a couple more questions for you. But let's quickly touch on Exeter, because we've had a lot of your best mates from there on. Absolute legends, great guys, and
Slady,
obviously
Slady's again big fan of. Is it Megan? Is it Megan? She's just.
What is wrong with you, Archie?
She started following me on Instagram.
What about the rugby players themselves?
I couldn't help.
She started following you.
She started following
me. Mrs. Farrell follows you as well.
Mrs. Farrell follows me. Yeah. They all follow me. They all like the long hair and the mustache.
Yeah, no rat boy for them, is it?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah.
But Hoggy, tell us, Exeter, obviously such a successful period, double champions, domestic, European. But
what is Megan Slade like?
But what about the initiations there? Because we've heard about the celebrations from others, but the initiation, Slady told us, but we want to get it from you. How good?
Slady didn't tell you.
He did.
You tell me.
No,
he did.
I tell you who told us.
Cowan Dickey.
Luke Cowan Dickey came on this pod, and I think for the first 10 minutes, he didn't know what was going on. But after about half an hour, he had the best time ever. And he has been messaging me since.
You get fucking dogs abuse, mate. Yeah, it involves a lot of piss, both drinking and
piss.
But yeah, I'm not sure I can say anything, mate, or we'll get absolutely fucked. I've never heard Dickie or Slady ever talk.
We'll
about
clip it,
so. It
up and send it to you.
I'm surprised you never listened to the podcast.
Yeah,
that is disappointing.
I was scared, mate. Do you know what? I don't listen to any fucking rugby podcast.
This isn't really rugby.
This isn't really a rugby podcast.
This is business
for the past 2 years. But mate, I'm on it. I'm just about to drive a couple of hours back up the road. I'm going to set the last few podcasts on.
Can I suggest? I'll suggest the Cowan Dickey podcast is good. The Ali Price podcast is good. The Hamish Watson podcast is boring. The Jack Noel podcast is good.
Hoggy, last year you had the captaincy of obviously the team, and then there was some sort of altercation because you and Finn went out for a couple of drinks. He said it was worth it. Was it worth it? I mean, apparently it was a great night.
Yeah, it was a fucking good night. But mate, we were celebrating Ali Price's 50th. You know, we were playing against Italy the following week. So no, we weren't. We were playing against Ireland the following week. We'd just beaten Italy. So we thought, we'll have a couple of beers, we'll celebrate. And yeah, basically, Finn got dropped. I lost the captaincy. Two boys never played that following week, and Darcy Graham got scot-free. So yeah, brilliant. I fucked up. The car fucked up, but the I lost my captaincy because of that kind of thing. So yeah, wasn't really the same after that.
Well,
shy going to the camp.
You've obviously had incredible career in the game. What's the biggest regret in the actual sport, and then the greatest night out you've ever been on? Because you've won so many trophies, had so many great nights for club and country.
It's about big regrets. It's about big learnings. Like, if I had my time again, I probably wouldn't have done that thing with Ulster. But in the end, though, it was almost the making of the man. It made me a better person after that. Biggest regret? That would probably be my biggest regret. Either that or not going to Montpellier when the cash was fucking awesome. Best night out?
Isn't it the one where you got a private jet?
I was literally thinking that when we went to Monaco. Fuck me.
Yeah.
So Finn Russell and I got invites with a plus one. And we decided to not tell our missus that we were going across and we'll take somebody else. So he took Ali Price and I took Ryan Wilson, of all people. So yeah, basically that night was Ryan Wilson told Eddie Jones that we were fucking coming for him. Anytime an England player was on the screen at the World Rugby Awards, he was fucking booing them. And yeah, we ended up in a private party with Prince Albert of Monaco and all these rugby legends that they met. We were absolutely fucked.
If there's one man who loves a drink, it's Ryan Wilson's dad, isn't it?
Oh, mate, fuck me. And he goes around in his flip-flops, mate. I've seen him in nightclubs in Edinburgh with fucking flip-flops on, feet cut to fuck with glass. And he wakes up in the morning, he's like, what time's the bar open? They need a Bloody Mary. But he's fucking legend, man.
Hoggy, I know you got to go, but obviously just to touch on the M&D for Doddy Weir, because I'm doing the bike ride next week with, I'm in a celebrity WhatsApp group with Jason Fox and
Ali
McCoist, of all people. Have I said much in the group? No, I'm leaving it all till I get there. But just touch on Doddy Weir and MND. I mean, we've obviously been the last 5 weeks asking the listeners to donate, but just on your own, you obviously knew Doddy Weir. I've never met him, but an incredible guy and a horrible disease. You know, what would you say on it, I guess? To inspire people to donate.
He was such a gentleman, and you know, I was very lucky that he was from a similar area in the Borders. I'd watch him growing up and being in his company a hell of a lot of times. And you know, I think it was just ahead of Lions 2 in 2017. I was with Doddy at an event, and I just kind of didn't think there's something just not quite right. And you know, just after Lions 2, he announced that he had MND and stuff, and it was just fucking heartbreaking to hear that. But again, because of his character and who he was as a person, he's raised fucking millions and millions and millions of pounds to try and find a cure, and he's done an incredible job, an absolutely incredible job, and it's brought the whole of Scotland closer. It's brought the MND community out there. It's really raising, as I say, a huge amount of funds, but a huge amount of awareness about the disease, the horrible disease as well. So I mean, he's left a legacy, and it's now up to everyone else to continue that legacy and make sure that we do our part, and you'll be doing your part to make sure we find a cure for MND, because it is absolutely horrible. And the fact that there's no treatments or medication or anything to resolve the disease is just, I mean, it's just absolutely heartbreaking, isn't it?
And can I just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for donating 200 quid to me. I really appreciate it, Hoggy. I know you got a lot of
two
cash.
Grand, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, we said 2 grand, but I said no, you need it. You've just retired. You said 200. That's
mate, I'm retired now. The pop star wages aren't coming now.
Hoggy, before we finish, just two things. When you've got more time, can we get you for a live podcast in Clapham? Surely you'll be free.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
And for enough cash. And secondly, I've got to ask you, are the rumours true? Are you considering coming to play for Clapham Falcons?
There might be a day that I come out for one game.
Two playing off each other. That would be a sight to see.
Well, only if you haven't got a wobbly sashy. If not, I'll send you right back. Like Eddie Jones did to Luke Cowan-Dickie, I'll send you home.
Ali Price.
Chat.
Rory Best.
Chat.
James Haskell.
Lots of chat.
Johnny Sexton.
No chat.
Henry Slade.
Definitely no chat.
Lee Halfpenny.
Chat, but quiet.
Bod.
Oh, it's been a long time, mate. He's my hero. After Hong Kong 2013, I'm going to say chat.
Benny Villopono.
I would say no chat.
Tom Curry.
No chat.
Yeah, he's a weird bloke.
And finally, Jamie Roberts.
Dr. Cheese. Yeah, we'll give him that. We'll give him chat.
Stuart Hogg, you've got so much chat. It's unbelievable. Thank you so much for coming on and helping raise awareness for Kenny Logan's charity, and also just to briefly skip over what is an amazing, amazing career.
Be prepared for Nickelback coming in your inbox very soon.
Mate, we're in.
Love
and champagne.
Thank you, Hoggy.
Cheers, mate.
Ooh, yeah. Well done, yeah. Archie. That was a booking and a half, I'll tell you that.
Hoggy is a real boy. I mean, he only had half an hour because he's very busy, but my God, we packed that half an hour full of banter.
He is efficient. Talking about, you know, those hour-long calls you do to try and get new business, he would be burning that.
The Scottish boys deliver on the chat front.
They don't disappoint, do they?
No, they really don't. That was a really, really interesting podcast.
So how much has your dad offered him to come play for the Falcons?
A decent amount. I think my dad offered him a 4-bed house that he can live in and Clapham Common and $200,000 a year, and he only has to play 5 games a year, but the sponsorship opportunity would be incredible. Fred, just before we finish the podcast, and that was a wonderful interview, Stuart Hogg, I'm just worried I haven't really hammered home the sort of charity.
Oh, mate, you've hammered it home.
No, I don't think I've said it enough.
You have.
I have spoken about it, haven't I?
You have, quite a lot.
And I just want people to donate, but I just thought for an added little je ne sais quoi.
Very good French.
Thank you very much. I thought I'd call Kenny Logan, the organiser of the Kenny Logan World Cup Challenge, for a quick 5-minute pump up so the audience know exactly what's going on and how they can do it and where the money's going.
Okay.
That's the kind of businessman I am. Kenny, we know you're very busy, but this is the penultimate podcast before I set off to join you on the Kenny Logan World Cup Challenge. And we've had Hoggy on this podcast, another Scottish great, and we talked extensively about My Name's Dolly Foundation. But as a businessman, I've just said that I'm calling in you just to hammer home the significance of what the charity's doing and the bike ride.
Well, actually, I've seen you. I've been watching the last couple of weeks, mate, and you're doing a lot of chat in France. I mean, France, I've had a lot of chat from you. And there's been a lot of drink, a lot of lash, haven't there? Yeah. I've seen a lot of lash going around. Now, you're going to have to bring your top game because you've got Ali McCoy's King of Banter. You've got Jimmy Nesbitt. You've got myself.
Yeah.
Kirsty Gallagher. Mel Dean. I mean, you're going to have to be very special to get yourself in the mix. Form.
I don't think you guys have seen anything like this coming your way. It is a steam train at 100 miles an hour. I don't stop. It's going to be phenomenal.
The only thing is, I've noticed your training videos. Are you doing a fake background in the studio?
Green screen. Are you actually outside?
I will be honest. I could have done with more training. I did 50 kilometers on Sunday, and I was thinking, But that is why
we have a problem.
No problem. But that's almost why people should donate, because it isn't just an easy challenge. This is not a walk in the park.
Easy challenge.
And I've fallen off my bike a number of times. It is dangerous and it is tough work, right?
Yeah, it's very tough work. I mean, the biggest ride I've done is 70 odd miles. And I was thinking, oh my God, I've got another 40 miles to go on my first day.
Yeah.
And so it's tough. And also then I noticed that when I did my walking, my feet got sore.
Yeah.
And then you got back in the bike, you're thinking, oh, glad to be back in the bike. But then your legs are just all over the place because it's just done 15-mile walk. So it is a hard challenge, but we can do the challenge. And we're doing it for people with MND who try and find this sort of cure or a tablet that can make an impact. And I think that's what Doddy's legacy. And I think that's something that, from my point of view, that everybody involved in the foundation and new people have come to the foundation and MND just want to see some sort of impact in this disease, because it's a terrible disease and, you know, we can do something about it, and that's a lucky thing for us.
And Kenny, obviously you've given your time very kindly just now for 5 minutes to come on the podcast, and something that we've been talking extensively on this podcast is that, you know, we do this podcast for free and we're just asking, you know, the audience this week, particularly ahead of the challenge, Kenny, you're starting on Saturday, just to click on the link in the bio, donate whatever you can. It is going to an amazing cause. That, you know, these people who have got MND, they're fighting every day.
Yeah.
And these funds go towards that and the cure to stop people in the future having to live with this horrible, horrible illness. And obviously you knew Doddy, who's one of your greatest friends who suffered with this. You've seen it firsthand. And, you know, £5, £10, they can make a difference, right?
Massively. I mean, I know you've got a lot of followers. And as you said, you do this for free. This podcast is for free.
Yeah.
Now, if we just ask every one of them to put a pound in or £5 in, that'd make a big impact.
Yeah.
And you guys do a great job. I know there's a lot of younger, older people followed you guys, and they love what you do. And all you're asking is just put your hand in your pocket for once and put something to, and be part of the cure, be part of the, you know, our aim is to try and find a world free of MND, and you can be part of that. And yeah. I think from my point of view and Doddy's point of view, he would say, just put the £5 into the foundation and be part of the journey. And thanks for your support, because it means a lot to not just the foundation, but to everybody who's got MND. You know, MND people, or somebody actually on the ride, his mum's just been diagnosed with MND, right? So MND is round the corner. It's 1 in 400 people will get it in their lifetime. And every day in the UK, 6 people are diagnosed with MND. So it's something that we need to get a grip of. And as I said, repeating what I've just said, everybody listens to your podcast, loves it, and they do it for free. You do it for free. You're not asking for a subscription. But all we're asking here today is if you put your hand in your pocket for £5, that can make a big impact.
And I will finally say, and I've said it time and time again, but if anyone out there can donate, if they donate £500, put it together, a few mates for £500, I will come and spend a day, whatever you want me to do with you. I'll come to your rugby club, I'll come to your business, I will come and do it.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Okay, here we go.
We'll do on your Just Giving page.
Yeah,
we'll give you 2 tickets for the Scotland Ireland game in Paris.
Oh,
right.
£500 or more.
£500 or more.
Yeah, £500 or more. £500 or more. You go into a draw through Archie's podcast, and the winner will be drawn. It'll be drawn by the end of the week.
And all you have to do is click on the link in the bio. It's so easy. Click through, donate.
So, Kenny, what we're saying, if you donate over £500 or more, you get a chance of getting these two tickets.
You have a chance of getting these tickets. So, if you only get 10 people doing it, the 1 in 10 chance, 2 tickets to Scotland Ireland.
Click on that link.
And we'll be there that night, won't we?
Yeah, we'll be there that night.
Oh, my goodness. We'll be lashing out with famous people.
They can actually come and meet us and do the walk with us.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Kenny...
So we'll tell them we're meeting, they can walk with us and then go to the game then.
That is the greatest prize we've ever heard. All you have to do.
I'm getting on socials now. We're going to get it going.
Click the link in the bio and get donating, guys. Let's solve MND once and for all. Kenny Logan, you're an absolute legend. I won't see you out in France, but he will be, and I will be.
That's because
if he had some gonads, you would be out there. You'd be cycling alongside him.
Yeah, sadly, I'm abused in my workplace.
You've got the tash.
I've got the tash. I've got the tash, but I'm going to donate £500. You don't pay me much, Archie, but I will donate £500 to John again.
There you go.
Kenny, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kenny.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks, or less than that, less than 10 days.
Love
and champagne, sir.
Love and champagne. Well, Archie Curzon, you must be living your dream. Not only have we just spoken to a legend of the sport and Mr. Stuart Hogg, but the rugby just doesn't stop coming. It's a fiesta of rugby.
Yeah, especially here in Clapham, creators, because we're so rugby-centric. Everywhere you go in Clapham, everyone's talking about the World Cup.
Yep.
It's a shame, because I won't be out this weekend celebrating the World Cup, because obviously next week, I'm on the charity bike ride. I need to get some hours in the saddle. I need to be out on the bike, getting the practice in. But the following weekend... I'm actually in Paris for the Ireland-Scotland game.
You are.
And I can't wait to be singing in my head, in my head, zombie,
it's going to be great, isn't it? You know, Sammy Coyce and all the boys singing that together.
It did make me think, because the Irish fans have got Zombie by the Cranberries.
Yes, they did.
And that was electric.
Incredible.
But I think England fans could have You Remind Me by Nickelback. Never mind it as a blind man, never mind it as a poor man. Singing and everyone just saying,
this is
you remind me of what I'll ever end. Yeah. This is how it'd be so good.
It
I'm gonna get that going in the quarterfinals because I'll be out in Marseille.
You're going out there,
with Infinity Sport.
Okay,
you can still get 10% off your travel if you book and use the code NORS10.
Okay. You keep mentioning that.
Yeah, I have to legally. Otherwise, they won't pay me.
Okay. Well, Archie,
NORS 10, all one word with NORS and then the numbers.
Yeah, 10. We get it.
Click on Infinity Travel.
Yeah.
And you go on the cruise ship and you use NORS 10.
You get pissed
off.
With you. Yeah, okay.
Hold on, mate.
I will let...
Hold on, mate.
Another one.
Ugh, Archie, God. I thought we were going to ban that button going forward. I think we're getting, you know, quite a lot
of... I know, but I do really enjoy...
Another one.
Oh, Archie, so, okay, I'm going to let you go. I know you've got to go practice for your bike ride. It's coming in a week. Please, if you are listening, just click on the link in the bio. It takes you 2 minutes and you can donate because it's an incredible, incredible cause that you just heard from the one, the only, Mr. Stuart Hogg. Archie,
never
off to...
Never made it as a blind man.
Okay.
Never made it as a poor man stealing.
Okay.
It says,
okay.
You remind me of a... Imagine Twickenham. Can you get my voice doing like 1,000 so we can imagine it's the same so people can understand?
That, okay.
Can you do it?
I don't know.
You remind me of what I really am. You remind me. That would be, imagine that around a stadium.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Well, Archie.
Mate, write it down. Oh, see if we can get Chad Kruger to Marseille for the quarterfinal. Because he could lead it.
Okay.
I'm sure he's not doing much these days.
I'll look into that. Archie, it's been wonderful to see you, sir. Go off to Richmond Park and get your miles in on the bike because you've got 300 miles to take over.
Mate, funny enough, I've got Mr. Matthews outside, so we're going to hop on him and get in some kilometres.
Kicked off my shoes, tripped acid in the rain. Wore my jacket as a cape and my umbrella as a cane. The richest man rocks the snatchless necklace. Spineless bitches in backless dresses. Wore my feelings on my sleeveless. My weed seedless, my trees leafless. I miss my diagonal grilled cheeses. And back when Mike Jackson was still Jesus. Before I believed in not believing in. Yeah, I inhale, who believed in me not breathing in? Cigarette stained smile all covered in sin. My big homie died young, just turned older than him. I seen it happen, I seen it happen, I see it always. He still be screaming, I see his demons in empty hallways. I tripped to make the fall shorter. Fourth quarter was just a tall order. And I'm hungry, I'm just not that thirsty. As of late, all my verses seem not so versy. And all my words just mean controversy. Took the team up off my back like that's not your jersey. Stressing, pulling my hair out, hoping I don't get picked. All this medicine in me, hoping I don't get sick. Making all of this money, hoping I don't get rich. Cause niggas still getting body for phones.
At Ritual, we know what goes into a magical holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. This new year, take a moment for yourself with simple daily rituals that help you put your foundational health at the top of your to-do list. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin is a clinically backed multivitamin featuring 9 high-quality key essential ingredients to help you fill key nutrient gaps in your diet. Or maybe you're stressing your daily protein intake, or you want to double down on support for your gut microbiome. From plant-based essential protein to 3-in-1 pre, pro, and postbiotic strains with Symbiotic Plus, Ritual helps you focus on supporting your body after a long season of juggling everybody else. And for a limited time, do it with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.